the opening, playing all the music for the congregation, choir, special. She's just doing it all today. So thank you so much. Thank you that she's got a willing attitude to just step right in. I got a call this morning from Miss Ross saying that she wasn't feeling well, and Mrs. Gibbons just stepped right up, said that she'd play, and so thank you so much. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm going to focus in on verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. You ever met somebody who's just unhappy? Being around them, you see them and you just think, oh no. Go to work and there's somebody there that really doesn't want to be there. They don't want to. They either lost the love for their job, or their job just doesn't fit them, and they know it. Everybody else knows it, and they walk in, and you know, you think, oh, I wonder what stories we're going to hear today. Or they mope around. You go to work, maybe you're there before them, and you think maybe it'll be a good day, and they'll call in sick, and you won't have to see them. Because it's just not pleasant to be around, you know. And you're sitting there and you're praying, oh, I can't wait for them to move on with, you know, find another job that maybe they're happy with. And then it finally happens, and then the whole place is just, the attitude is just completely changed, because everybody that's there is happy. They want to be there. They want to work. There's no contentment in that individual. They're not satisfied with what they have. I don't know how many times I've been at work and a person comes in and start talking with them, and either by their talk you know they're not from here. Maybe they got a southern draw or something, and you know, God still loves you. It's okay. And you start talking with them, and you know, they say, oh, well, I'm new up to Maelstrom. And then start talking, and usually it's their first base or something like that, and been here for a month or two, and I ask them, and I say, how do you like it? I say, I don't. Usually that's what happens when you get some of these younger guys in. If they're not an outdoors type person, or they're not from a small town, they're from a bigger city like Los Angeles or something like that, and they get up here, and they go from a couple million people to just Great Falls. And you start talking with them, and they already have plans on what they want to do when they leave. I was talking with a gentleman the other day, and I was asking him about some things, and he just got in less than a month ago. And I said, so what, you know, how are you liking it? He says, I don't. I hate it up here. And he says, I already want to go to Ranger School, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. And there was just no contentment on where he was at. He's not going to be happy here because he's not satisfied. Contentment is important for us as Christians in order for us to be happy. And I want to look at some things on what contentment is not. And I think that's the best way to understand what contentment actually is. The first thing, contentment is not anxiety over what God has already promised. It's not what God anxiety over what God has already promised. There are certain things that God has promised us. Maybe there are things that you've been praying about, and you feel like this is something that God wants me to have, but you don't have it yet. There's the verse, of course, in Isaiah, where it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting on the Lord. To wait on the Lord means that you are ready and God is not. You're ready for something, but God says it's not the right time. When I went to college, I had full expectations. I'll go to college. I will be there for 4 years. I'll get my degree. I'll find the love of my life. as soon as college is over with in May, we'll get married in June, and life is going to be grand. And I went down there, and I was praying, and God, give me this right person for me to marry, and I know she's down here. And graduation came and went, and I came back home to Montana single. And it was difficult at first, because I wanted to say, I had all these plans, and I knew that it was God's will for me to find somebody. It's not good that a man be alone, the Bible says. I knew it for me. And I knew God was going to have somebody. And I had it all mapped out in my mind, exactly how it would lay out. And lo and behold, it didn't happen that way. I was ready, or so I thought. I was prepared. I thought to myself, "Well, this is what's going to happen." And it took a little bit of time for me to understand that I cannot be anxious for things that have got, that God has promised me that I haven't gotten yet. I have to wait on God. Even though I may feel that I'm ready, God knows what's best. And that's difficult for us to do. It's difficult for us to step back and say, "God, I'm just going to trust you in this. I know it's going to happen, but I don't know when. I'm going to be content with what I have." It wasn't until I became content and I set aside that anxiety, I set aside that anticipation, and I said, "God, I'm happy how I am with what you've given me. I don't need anything else." Amen. Even if you've promised me, and even if you've got things mapped out and ready for me, I'm happy with what you've given me. That's contentment. And right after I became comfortable with that, and I became content, I said, "God, I'm just satisfied with what I have." Lo and behold, God says, "All right, here you go." And 7 years later, we're still happy, enjoying life, and still content with what God has given us. In our lives, we have goals and visions and dreams of things that we want to do. Anticipations. We plan it all out. And life happens, and it's never exactly how we thought it was going to be. Or maybe there are certain things in our lives. I knew when I was 13 years old that I was going to be a preacher. 13 years old, I said, "God, I'm giving my life to you. I know this is what you want." God, I've been, and I was ready for it, to make that decision. 13 years old. And even though God has allowed in my life for me to do the things that I wanted as a young boy, there's been a process along the way. And even though I've sat at the beginning and I said, "This is what I want," and God's allowed it to happen, there's still things in my life, too, though, that I have to be content about. And it may be that your life has worked out exactly how you want it to, but there's just those little things here and there that get worked up over. We can't wait for them to happen. The problem when we get anxious about things that God has promised us, if we're not content, sometimes we will force it to happen instead of allowing it to happen in God's time. I remember I was talking with Brother Justin Brown, and several times we were talking, and he just was so anxious to get down to Bible college and finish up his degree. But it wasn't the right time. And we were talking, and he was saying it's difficult not to force it, not to pack up and just go and make it happen and figure out, "Well, God will just take care of us somehow." If we're anxious, sometimes we'll force a decision that's not supposed to happen at that moment, because we're not content with what God has given us. Content is not murmuring when we do not have those things that we want, but we sure wish we had. You drive and you complain because you see other people that have those things. Then you say, boy, I want those. I've been praying for it and praying for it and praying for it. It just doesn't seem to happen. And you look around and you see somebody else that gets those things that you've been praying for. You say, but wait a minute, God, that's what I was praying for. Why didn't you give it to them? You're supposed to give it to me. You get worked up. You start to complain about it and you gripe. You get dissatisfied because you think that God just doesn't really take care of you. We murmur. You ever been to Walmart? See a kid that walking with his mom? And all of a sudden he looks over and he sees something and his eyes get big. Oh, I want that. I see that toy. I want to have it. He goes over and he picks it up and his mom says, put that back. You're going to break it. Then I'm going to have to pay for it. And it's not going to work. Put it back. And the kid puts it back and he throws the biggest fit. You can hear him 4 or 5 miles away and you see him just throwing his big old tantrum and he's all worked up about it, and finally it gets to the point where the mom just, you know, storms out and they leave Walmart. Because they're all upset and the kid's just so worked up they can't do anything. And he's mad because the things that he wanted, he couldn't get. As a parent, my son starts to do that, I'm going to correct him right away. Because I don't want him to throw a fit and try and get what he wants. I want to teach him. If you wait, I could have bought that for you. Maybe it's just not right thing for you. Maybe I'm trying to teach him that he's not going to always get the things that he wants, and he'll never get that toy. But I'm trying to teach him. And for as parents, when we see that, and we see a kid that responds that way and whines and throws a fit and cries, and we think, wow, what is wrong with that kid? Well, a parent better get control. Or maybe if it's our own and we say, you better stop, otherwise I'm going to fix it for you. But yet we do the same thing. When we're looking and we want things to happen, it doesn't happen. It's not in God's timing yet. And all of a sudden, that 3-year-old in us comes out. We start throwing a fit. We start complaining. I often wondered, maybe my son, I hope he didn't catch that from me, sitting in a car, talking. And we kind of try the humanistic view of ourselves. We excuse it out. We just say, well, we just need to vent. We just need to get it off our chest. We just need to say it and get it out of the way because I don't want to hold it in. And we murmur and we complain and we gripe about how things just aren't exactly how we want them to be. And then when our kid does it, where did you learn that from? How could you do that? Well, we're doing the exact same thing. Griping and complaining because we didn't get our way. Because we think we know better than God. We think, God, I know what's best for me. And if I don't get it, I'm going to complain and whine until I do. I know what's best for my son. I look for his best interest. The decisions that I make to try and help him become the best that he can be. Some decisions he doesn't like. But I know it's best. God knows what's best for us. He knows exactly what we need when we need it. And it's not our job to whine and complain and force it to happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10 says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." The children of Israel, as they were in the wilderness, is wandering around. They started to murmur and complain. They knew that God had already promised them Canaan land. It's already said. It's just a matter of when. God already said, "This is the land that I'm going to give you. It flows with milk and honey. It's everything that you want. It's going to be there. It's provided for you." But there's a process to go through before you get there. There's this little bit of a wilderness, a little bit of struggles, maybe a little bit of difficulty, but then you're going to get there. And as he was taking them through and they're in the wilderness, they start to complain about food, water, how difficult it is. They start to say, "Boy, we should have never left Egypt. We should have stayed where we were at. Life was, at least we had food to eat." Egypt's a picture of the world. And what they were saying is, "We should have never left the world. We should have never separated and came apart from them. We should have just stayed in there with them and intermingled with them." And God heard that and said, "What do you mean? You want to go back to the world? You want to go back to the worldliness, the sin and everything else that I brought you out of?" And so what did he do? He sent those serpents. Well, if that was me, I'd be getting my heart right real quick because I hate snakes. That's right, Marcia knows. She's the same way. When they were riding down to, it was Denver, wasn't it? Yeah, and they were playing that pass it up. My wife had brought a plastic snake and was sitting there right by her ear. And she turned and looked at that snake and she screamed, "I hate snakes." But here God sent them to those children of Israel because of their murmuring. They had to get that brazen serpent on that rod and lift it up, and we get the song "Look and Live" from that. You see the ambulances with that symbol on it because it's a sign of healing. Never would have happened if they would have been content. All the lives that were lost because of those snakes as they were biting them and dying because of murmuring and disputing amongst each other, complaining about the bad deal that God gave them, the lack of contentment. And in our lives, if we're not careful, rather than getting the blessings, God could chasten us because of our murmuring. Because we're not at that place where we are depending on God to know what's best and content in our life. The third thing that contentment is not, it's not greed. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Greed comes into play when we want things that may not be the best for us and we do it regardless. That materialistic side to us. The desire to always have something new. The desire to go out and I've got to have the best boat. I've got to have a new vehicle every 2 years. I've got to have all the toys, the four-wheelers and all this and that. And there's nothing wrong with having those things. I like playing on them just as much as anybody else. I like going out on a boat and going fishing. I like riding out on and enjoying all those things. But when we get so worked up that it consumes us, that's when it becomes sin. When all we care about is stuff. When there's no contentment in our lives, there's a void that's in our heart. And people try filling that void with stuff. If I just get the best truck, a newer truck, that'll make me happy. Well, maybe I need to get a nicer house. Get out of this apartment that I'm in, or get out of this crummy apartment and move to a better apartment. That's what I need. Or I need to get more toys because the ones that I currently have, they're not fun anymore. And when you have that void that's in your life because there's no contentment, you allow yourself to get consumed with materialistic things. Instead of focusing on God, we focus on stuff. Buying the nicest clothes that we can and continue to do so to try and fill this emptiness that greed. There's nothing wrong with money. There are people in the Bible that were very wealthy individuals. And they were Christians and they were happy and life was fine. But it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. When it consumes us to the point where we push everything else aside, when it takes the place of God, it becomes sin. Because there's no contentment with the things that God has given us. Lastly, contentment is not envy. James 3:16 says, "For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work." We're telling God when we envy what other people have, He doesn't know what He's doing. We're looking around and we see what other people have, and you see somebody drive up with a brand new vehicle and you look at yours, you look back at theirs, you say, "Boy, I wish I could have that. Why can't I have a nice vehicle like that? Why can't I have the things that they have?" We were over at Chad and Marsh's the other day, and yesterday, and we went down in their basement to their gun vault, and you just look around at all those things, and you think, "Boy, this would be nice." My wife said on the way back, if Montana gets invaded, we know where we're going. And then she said after she got, she enjoyed the shooting and all that, she says, "I know which gun I'm going to grab, too." She looked at that, and you got to be careful because the eyes can turn a little green. And you start thinking, "Boy, I wish I had all this. Sure would be nice if I could have a piece of this." But you have to be content with what God has given you. God has allowed them to have those things because it helps their ministry. It enables them to go out and go to churches and hold meetings and things and see hundreds of people come to know Christ. It's amazing to hear the stories as he comes back. And I have to be content with what God has laid out for my life and not compare it to somebody else's. Well, I see college friends of mine that are in college that have their own church or they're off doing these other things. That's what God has for them. But that's not what God has for me. When you look at other people and you compare and you say, "Boy, look at all the stuff they've got. Look at the family that they have, the house that they've got, or the happiness and all that." And you start envying all those things. That's fine. That's what God has for them. Just realize what God has for you and be happy with it. God knows what we can handle. Sometimes we look at our health situation. We wonder, why do we have to endure the things that I'm enduring? Why is that? We look at other people that may not, we think in our minds, may not be living as godly of a life as, say, we are, and they've got all these other things that makes no sense to us. Our eyes start to turn green and we start craving those things and we become unhappy with where we're at. I remember as my wife and I were married and friends started having kids and we started finding out that other friends were going to have kids. We sat there and said, when is it our turn? And we had to come to a place where we just said, we're not going to worry about everybody else. Not going to be concerned with the things that God has given others. I'm just going to be happy with what I have. Contentment. It's not envy. It's not greed. It's not murmuring and complaining when I don't have the things that I want. It's not being anxious over things that God has promised us. It's just being happy with the plan that God has for my life and trusting in Him. God, You know what's best for me. You know what I can handle. I'm going to trust in You. Contentment. Contentment is coming to a place where you know that God is going to take care of you. It's believing in God. He's going to do everything for you that He feels best. And when we're happy with that, we get to that place where we have that peace, the faith in God. God gives us more blessings than we can handle. But it takes all that time and the waiting, the patience to allow it to happen in God's timing. Our job, God's going to bless us. There's no question about it. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless your family. He has all these things set aside for you. And when you ask for them, He wants to give them to you. But sometimes there's that delay. You just got to have faith that God knows what He's doing. And be patient and wait on God. Make the best of what God has given you. You can't fully, however, be content until that void is filled. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that void will never be filled. It's impossible. You'll always want something else because you're looking for something. You may not even know exactly what it is, but it's Christ. Contentment. God's able to give that to you. But if you don't know God, how can He? If you've never trusted Him as your Savior, how can you know all these things that God has worked out for you? It's impossible. And if you've never done that before, if you've never come to the place where you've trusted Christ as your Savior, this morning we'd love the opportunity to show you how you can. If you've already done that, maybe you've allowed other things that have come into your life and have taken you and turned your eyes off of God and fixed them on other things. This morning, turn them back to God. Enjoy that peace and contentment that He can give. And just simply trust in Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that You would just give us that contentment. Pray that You would help us to trust You. Not be concerned about what other people may have, but just focus in on what You've given us and the blessings You've already given us. Lord, I pray that there's somebody here this morning that has never trusted You as their Savior, that this morning they can do that. With our heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you've never done that before, if you've never come to the point where you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to take you to heaven, this morning we'd love the opportunity to show you how you can. Maybe there's somebody here this morning who says, you know, that's me. I've never done that before. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. If you'd lift your hand up, I'd just like to pray for you. Maybe this morning there's been things in your life that have come around and clouded your mind, taking your focus off of things. You've lost that contentment. This morning the altar is going to be open. You can come and kneel and pray and give it to God. As the organ begins to play, I ask everyone to stand to your feet. I'll be down front. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, please come forward. If you've never had that peace in your life that you can only know by trusting in Him, this morning you can find that. I just asked if you'd come down, I would have the opportunity to show you how you can. Maybe there's something in your life that you've been holding on to. You worked up over, you look at what others have, you're not satisfied. Maybe you're trying to fill it with other things instead of just having contentment. The altar's open as others have already come forward and kneel and pray. You can join them. Nobody's going to bug you. Nobody's going to come and question. Just give it to God. We're not looking to try and humiliate you or embarrass you or anything like that. All we're concerned about is, are you right with God? If not, come forward and get it right. Don't leave the same way that you came in. Don't waste the time that God has given you because you're too scared or embarrassed to get it right. Once again, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we'd like to invite you down so that we can show you how. Maybe you've never been fully baptized in deep water, down in the water, back up, showing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Maybe you'd like to join the church. Maybe you think this is the church that God would have you be a part of. You'd come forward as well. Maybe it's contentment. Maybe it's something else that God's been working on your heart that you just need to get taken care of. There's plenty of time. We're in no hurry.